We'd like to welcome you to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is November the 13th, Sunday morning, November 13th, 1983. Lord bless as we worship together today.
Scripture this morning is taken from Acts 26, starting with verse 24 through 28. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I spake freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believeth thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this another Sabbath day, another chance to come to your house this morning to have fellowship with our fellow Christians. Father, we pray this morning that you'd be in our midst as we study your word. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship we had in Sunday school. We pray, Father, that you will be in our hearts today, that you'll speak to each one of us. through thy word, that we will turn to you for everything in our lives, that we will give you control in everything that we do. Help us, Father, not to go out on our own and seek our way through this world without you. We know, Father, that you're there, and all we have to do is to call upon you. Help us, Father, to always look to you for guidance. This morning, Father, for those who are sick, that are not with us today, we pray, Father, for them, that you'd heal them through your blessed will, and comfort them, Father, in these trying hours. Father, for those in our hearts and in our community that are lost, we pray, Father, that you'd speak to them before it's too late, cause them to see their need for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus who died in my place upon the cross. Help me, Father, to honor him in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name.
before the message, Tom and Fred are going to come and sing the words of that song that Melanie just played for us. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely would fail. I trust you know the Lord today, personally. Today, friend, you're not drifting through life. I trust you have a sail, and that sail is Jesus. He is able to direct us instead of having us drift through life, all our lives here on this earth. Today we'd like to speak on some men who in the Bible who were lost, so close to being saved. Lost inside of home. I believe the tragedy of all tragedies would be to stand at the door of salvation and turn away and be lost forever. Some people who have trusted the Lord, they have testified that if they had let that time slip away, that opportunity slip through their fingers, that would have been the last time that God would have spoken to their heart. They feel that way. Maybe you felt that way when you were saved. The Holy Spirit was dealing with you in such a way that if you had said no that time, that might have been the last time. You know, someday the Lord is going to deal with you. If you're still not a Christian, the Lord's going to deal with you the last time someday. I trust He won't. It's a great God. It's a merciful God today. We had a verse last week, I believe, in our Sunday school lesson that says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." I thank God today for His mercy. The mercies of God.
They're new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Today we'd like to mention some names of people that we're praying for. Brother Earl's mother-in-law, still in the hospital. Bertram Maggard, who goes back to the hospital tomorrow for some treatments. Let's be praying for Mrs. Back. Brother Jerry Fraley's dad, Mitchell Fraley. Lucy Talby, I want to mention her today. She has had a stroke and is in the hospital in Louisville. Let's pray for her. God bless her. And also, Anna Campbell is in the hospital over here. I'd also like to mention Mrs. Barker. She is still in the Central Baptist Hospital in Lexington. And right now, I don't believe they have got all the tests back. But I know this. These that we mentioned, they have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I trust Virgil will soon get his name there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mrs. Barker, as I said, is still in Central Baptist Hospital. Let's pray for her today and this week. We just need to look up. I know God's certainly able to bless. I've been sort of feeling under the weather the last day or two. I don't know what's wrong. I have a terrible headache right now, but I know this. God has brought me here today. I had rather be here than anywhere I know. Because God is here. And I know that one of the verses in the Bible, it says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. And I'm glad and thankful to God today to be in the Lord's house, to be here. God knows all about us. I heard this morning about a 15-year-old boy that goes to Napier High School. I don't know what his name is. Smith boy, I believe. Michael Smith. I don't know the complete story about him. But I know this, friends. We need to know the Lord. We need to know the Lord. Let's have another word of prayer together. Father, we thank Thee that we're here in Your house today. And Father, we need Thee so much this morning. We need Thee every day, every hour, every moment. Father, we thank Thee for bringing each one here this morning to fellowship around Your precious Word. Father, we know that Your Word still says that all things work together for good to those who love Thee, to those who are the called according to Your purpose. And Father, may we never question Thee what You're doing, because Your ways are perfect, and many times our ways are imperfect. Father, we confess to Thee this morning that we would be nothing without Thee. We'd be, like the song says, a ship without a sail. We'd be drifting through life. And Father, we just ask Your blessing today upon each and every precious soul who is here. We thank Thee for each one, for each home represented. And Father, we praise Your name today that this life is not all of it. This life is just a dressing room for eternity, Father. And we thank Thee that we can put our faith and trust in the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who is more than able to save us, to keep us, and to take us home someday. We thank Thee for Your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to mention again what I said a while ago, the tragedy of all tragedies would be to stand at the door of salvation and never go through, and never go in. It doesn't have to be that way. The door of salvation today stands wide open, and you can come. Jesus has already sent the invitation out. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. I wonder, friends, if we have ever come to the realization that we were lost, that we were without hope, without God in the world. A man by the name of Fred Blom, B-L-O-M, he was in prison. And while there in prison, he met the Lord face to face. And he knew that the prison doors would never open again to let him out while he was here on this earth. And so one day the Lord inspired him to write a song. And he wrote the first stanza that says, love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins. Someday, friends, the pearly gates are going to open for us. And we're going to enter into heaven. Miss Sizemore told me Thursday, she said, I'm just waiting for the Lord to call me home. That's a wonderful attitude to have. She said, I'm not afraid of death. The Lord has taken the sting of death out of death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory, even over death. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As I brought the children home here to the church this morning, Brother Combs, as I walked in the door, he gave me this four-line poem that he wrote, entitled Lost Inside of Home. Title of our message today. It says, while here on earth we wander and no other place to roam, let us not forget Jesus and get lost inside of home. Don't get lost. Don't get lost inside of home. Jesus said about a lawyer one time in Mark 12:34, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Ken Griffith said to Paul, here in the verses Brother White read for us, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Don't be almost persuaded. Be fully persuaded today. We'll look at some people in the Bible who, as far as we know, we have no record of their being saved. The first one is Judas Iscariot. I don't understand why Jesus chose Judas, but I know this. One of the main reasons was that so Scripture could be fulfilled. Jesus said about Judas, have not I chosen you, and one of you is the devil? Jesus said to Judas, there in the upper room where they were having the Lord's Supper, in John 13:27, Jesus said to him, whatever you're going to do, do quickly. John 13:30 says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. What a night Judas went out into. In Matthew 26:50, the Bible tells us, and Jesus said unto him, unto Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come? And we know Judas place a kiss on Jesus' cheek. Jesus said this about Judas, "Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." As I read that verse there in Matthew, I thought to myself, it would have been better not to have been born than not to be born again. Except ye are born again, Jesus said. Nicodemus, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus called Judas friend. Friend. There was a man one time that Jesus told about who was at a wedding and he did not have on a garment, a wedding garment. And they came to him and said, "Friend, how'd you get in here?" And he was speechless. They threw him out into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Judas Iscariot, I don't believe, was ever saved. The Bible says in Acts that he went out and hanged himself and went to his own place. Scripture was fulfilled in Judas Iscariot. In Psalm 41:9, the Bible tells us, it says, "Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted hath lifted up his heel against me." Way back there in Psalm, this was talking about Judas, who would plant a kiss of betrayal on Jesus. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7, during the Olivet Discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." There are going to come some people to Jesus someday, and they're going to say, "We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And we have done this and that." And Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." I believe in eternal security. If I didn't, I would go home and never open another Bible. I believe the one who saves us is able to keep us. We're kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. Someday Jesus will say to those, "We have done a lot of things here in this world. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." I would encourage you today not to be lost inside of home. Capital H-O-M-E. I read one time where a fellow got lost in a blizzard. And he couldn't find his way home. They found his body just a few hundred feet from his house. Lost. Physically. Another fellow in the Bible that I believe never did make it right with God was the rich young ruler. This is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. The Bible tells this about him. Actually, this verse here I'd like to read first of all. It says, "What shall it profit a man," this means anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, "if he or she should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Of what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" This rich young ruler had a lot going for him. He came in the right way. He came running to Jesus. He came at the right time when he was young. He came in the right attitude. He came and kneeled to Jesus. But did you know what? When you and I see him leaving Jesus, it says that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he has great possessions. Don't get lost when you almost hear the singing of the angels. Jesus says, "Come." come while there's time. Jesus told this fella to go and sell what he had. He didn't tell everyone that. Did you know what? Things were keeping this man from trusting Jesus. He had great possessions. But he did not have the greatest possession. He was lost. As far as we know, we never hear of this fellow ever coming to Jesus anymore. In fact, some people sort of have put three incidents in the Bible together. The rich young ruler, the fellow who had bulging barns that Jesus told about, and the rich man in hell. I heard one preacher say this, those three fellows could be one and the same person. I believe Jesus knew a man who had bulging barns. And he said, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus said, God said to him, thou fool, don't leave God out, friend. Don't leave the Lord out. There's a fellow in the book of Acts. We'd like to look at the last three people in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Every opportunity Paul had, he talked to someone about the Lord. And here in Acts 24 and in verse 25 it says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Did you know what? We never find Felix ever making things right with God. Felix was lost inside of home. This fella trembled because the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. He was dealing with him about his soul. It's dangerous to say no to the Holy Spirit when he knocks at our heart's door. You know that? I told you about a fellow who stood in a service and gripped the pew in front of him. He never trusted Jesus. A few years went by, and he was in a service again. And during the invitation this time, a few years later, he sat and rocked back and forth on his heels. No conviction. Did you know what? Before you can be saved, before I could be saved, there had to come conviction in my heart. And I'm glad today that there was conviction. I'm glad I trusted Jesus that day. The Lord must be dealing with a person before they can be saved. Felix trembled, and right there and then, he should have said yes to Jesus. But he didn't. He said no. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. But I need you. 2 years later, we don't find this fellow ever trusting the Lord, because in verse 27 it says, after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews the pleasure, left Paul bound. Lost. Lost inside of home. Now is the only convenient season. Right now. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation. There was a man who passed away, and this poem was found in his pocket. The clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. The clock of life. I don't know when the clock of life for you is going to stop. I don't know when it's going to stop for me. But I know this. My eternal destiny is sealed. July the 4th, 1955, the Holy Spirit came into my life and He sealed me until the day of redemption. and I will never perish. All the devils of hell cannot pluck one of God's children out of his hand. The Holy Spirit is in us forever. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, there was another fellow in chapter 26 by the name of Festus. Festus said to Paul, Paul says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is Paul giving God's message and words of conviction, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Festus said with a loud voice. You know, Felix trembled. The Holy Spirit was dealing with Felix. And here we find Festus responds a little different way. He says with a loud voice, Paul, you've just gone off your rocker. They aren't beside thyself. You have too much learning. Much learning doth make thee mad. He was under conviction so much that he said with a loud voice. You know, earlier in chapter 16, Paul had said with a loud voice to a Philippian jailer who came trembling to him. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said with a loud voice, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Festus says with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Lost inside of home. And then we find King Agrippa. You know, I believe one thing. God's Word will do one of two things. It will either soften a person's heart as they respond to it, or it will harden a person's heart as they do not respond to it. The same sunshine that melts wax hardens clay. The same S-U-N I'm talking about. You know God's wonderful S-O-N. He'd like to melt us and make us and mold us. He wants to be the potter of my life. He wants to mold me and make me after His will as I am yielded to Him, yielded and still. King Agrippa, in chapter 26 and verse 28, this is one of the three times in the Bible that the word Christian is mentioned. Agrippa says to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Paul said in the very next verse, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul was on his way to Rome, Italy, be put in prison. Paul said, I would that you were like me, except these bonds. Almost persuaded? Are you almost persuaded to believe? I want to close with this poem here, written by Brother Combs again. He read this in one of the classes we had Friday. As we travel through this world, the things that are behind should all be forgotten. It is a waste of time. Let us look beyond this world with brighter things in mind and forget about the past. It is a waste of time. Nothing that has passed that lingers in our mind, no matter what we think, it is a waste of time. Time will come and time will go. Let us not be blind, for future things are more important. They are not a waste of time. as we lay in sleep and slumber and dream of things behind, let us start a new day with no waste of time. While our Lord was here on earth, He was not spiritually blind. He went about His Father's business. He did not waste His time. When our Lord returns to earth for the ones that are left behind, let us watch and pray with no waste of time. There is no future for us. Do we linger in our mind? The things that have passed and gone, it is a waste of time. As we look to the future, let us keep these things in mind. Let us turn our eyes to Jesus and not be left behind. When our Savior calls us, that could be most any time. Let us pray and be prepared and not be left behind. You know what? There's going to be a lot of people going to be left behind. When the Lord comes again, it says that two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. It's going to be a separating coming. Husbands and wives will be separated forever. Children be separated from their parents. I wish everybody in my family was a Christian. But they're not. There's 11 of us children still living. In fact, all 11 of us. Got one brother that's lost. If Jesus came back today, I know this, heaven is going to be heaven if you're the only one in your family that goes. Heaven's going to be heaven. But how much better it would be if every precious soul, I said last Sunday, I guess it was, if Jesus came, how many homes in Airport Gardens would be empty? How many? Would everybody in the home fly away at the rapture? I hope so. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for being with us today. And may no one in this service, Lord, be left behind. If Jesus should come back today, Father, we thank Thee for the assurance of our salvation, that we're saved forever, for sure. Pray, Lord, during this invitation, You'd speak to each heart, and may we see precious souls born again. May we see Christians, Father, move up in their Christian life. And our prayer is, Lord, that You'd use each one of us this week to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. We'd like to stand and turn to 221, Almost Persuaded. I trust you'll be fully persuaded today to trust Jesus if you haven't already. There's no better time than today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be the day of eternity as we stand to sing.
Thank you.
Felix said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I read one time where a person left a revival service with the Holy Spirit just tugging at their heart. They didn't respond to the invitation. And on the way home, this person was so deeply under conviction that he said to God,